We're continuing our journey through 1 Peter, looking at what the quality of relationships are like and are we confident in them. Our passage mentions husbands and wives, and some of us are in those relationships, but not all of us are. And so there's a challenge also in the passage to all of us who say we're Christians about all the relationships we have, both in and outside of church. And that's what we're thinking about today. Being a people who are confident in our relationships with one another so that we can show Christ in our lives, in every area of our lives and relationships. So we can shine for Jesus and we can point people to the cross. So a question to think about. We had a question last week and you popped your answers in the comments box. It was interesting to read what you had to say. So today, this morning's question, can you think of a time when somebody influenced you for the better? Perhaps they encouraged you in a good habit or a positive action. Who was that person? What was it about that person that made you listen to them? Who could that be for you? Pop that in the comments box and who it might be and why, and we'll all have a see about each other's person. As we've heard already, our passage is from 1 Peter chapter 3, and it's the first 12 verses. So if you've got that open, that's brilliant. There are some passages in the Bible that some people find controversial. Some passages of the Bible wind certain people up. And perhaps for some people, this is one of those passages. And today's passage may annoy some people for different reasons than last week's. But remember, it's all about context. So let's listen to the word of God together. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 to 12. Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behaviour of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewellery or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to adorn themselves. They submitted themselves to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her Lord. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with the respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing. Because to do this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So there's some stuff in there at first reading that some of you may be thinking in these modern times, crumbs, Louise. You can't say that nowadays. Again, like our passage last week, context is key. This is written to people who are living in one particular historical moment with particularly different cultural references that are different from our own. It's all about the quality and confidence of our relationships. Do our lives and our relationships reflect Christ? Do yours? Peter is writing to a group of exiles, scattered Christians around the area that we might call Turkey. There are people under persecution by the Roman Empire. And hearers of this circular letter would be all sorts of different people, men and women, slaves and free, Gentiles, all trying to live their lives as followers of Jesus under persecution as a minority among people who do not understand. So let's start with words that have, over the years, caused some consternation with some people. Remember, context is key. Verse 1 and 2. Peter says, "Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see purity and reverence of your lives." First century Roman culture was largely a male-dominated one. Women had less access to education and social political power, and ultimately justice. Families were seen as integral to a healthy society. Families had really clear divisions of power, and a father figure was ultimately responsible for everyone, slave and free, under their roof. The following quote from Greek thinker and writer Plutarch provides an interesting backdrop to Peter's instructions. It'll come up on the screen. "A woman ought not to make friends of her own, but to enjoy a husband's friends in common with him. The gods are the first and foremost important friends. Hence, it's becoming for a wife to worship and to know only the gods that her husband believes in, and to shut the door tight upon all strange rituals and outlandish superstitions." In our scripture, Peter is describing the relationship between Christian wives and non-Christian husbands. In the context of converted Gentiles in a Roman world, where wives were expected to follow their husbands and follow their husbands' religions and the household gods. That was the done thing. So those words we've just heard from scripture, it's about how you behave in that culture. When you've been converted to Christ and your husband hasn't, and what to do with your life as an example of the love of Christ, and what not to do so you don't wind up your husband deliberately. Peter's suggesting that the non-believing husband might be won over, not by the wife's preaching, but through her unspoken testimony of her behaviour, when her life is an example of purity and reverence. When Christ shines out of her, that will be noticed, Peter says. And Peter's saying that the example of women to their non-believing husbands is to have strong faith, to be confident in their calling, and to show reverence to the God that she worships. And Peter hopes that that will move husbands to want to know more about what is behind their wife's faith. It's a faith in these women that is identity forming. It's an aspect of discipleship that's indispensable to them. And that can't have been easy in this particular culture. And Peter has some more instructions to wives that have been misinterpreted over the years. It's about appearance. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles or the wearing of gold jewellery or fine clothes. Rather, it should be of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. So again, this is about context. In the context of Roman society, evidence from the day shows that the outward adornment of women was a contentious issue. Well, it probably still is today. Some writers suggest that braided hair, gold and fine dress were a symbol of, wait for it, unfaithfulness and adultery. And flamboyant dress among women was the key aspect of the worship of the Artemis religious cult. So Christian women were being warned to actually be careful what you look like to those who are watching you, because we don't want what you look like to be a stumbling block in your witness, to be hard for people to find Christ. Peter is writing to women who are already fairly liberated in as much as they're following their own faith and not their husbands or their household gods. But he's saying that in their liberation, don't deliberately wind your husbands up. Dress so that Christ is glorified. Don't preach and nag. Don't give people cause for suspicion. Live lives that show the beauty of Christ in your life. And those watching, particularly your husbands, may warm towards faith in Jesus. So it's about character. Verse 4 says this: rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. Okay? So that's instructions to women. The men are not exempt here. Peter moves on with words of wisdom to husbands and to male hearers. Verse 7. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. Treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing hinders your prayers. Interesting. In the same way. The women got it in the same way too. It refers back to the previous chapter, remembering that we've put the chapters, those who put the Bible together, put the chapters in. This was originally a letter. So the bit before in the letter was all about Christ's submission, his giving himself willingly to suffering, him giving himself willingly to the will of God, which led to the cross. It's an attitude of saying yes to God. Submission because of love and respect for the Father. So in the same way, in the same example of Jesus Christ, Peter says, wives and husbands, be Christ-like. Husbands, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect. And in the same way, women are encouraged to respond in behaviour so that the light of Christ is seen in their lives. There's a mutuality of expectation here. In the same way, like Christ, love your wife, give her honour and respect. Actually, respect isn't the strongest word. The word in Greek that's used is preciousness. Treat her with preciousness. Real honour and respect. And Peter says it's that attitude you're meant to have to one another as unto Christ. As unto the weaker partner, he says. Now, if you're a modern West Kirby or Eastern woman, or wherever you're hearing that from this morning. You might go, hang on in there. Hang on, Peter. Weaker partner. Oh, I'm not sure what you think about that. Well, if this morning, if I was made to have an arm wrestling fight with Dan or with Brian from the Evening Congregation or with Steve from Eastham, they are all physically stronger than I am. I would still hate to lose because I'm a little bit competitive, but I would lose. And not just because I have a frozen shoulder. I would lose because those three examples of men are all physically stronger than I am. And that's the word used in Greek here. Peter is saying that in the majority of cases, men are physically stronger than women. And in a society where weakness was a burden and where women were not seen as equal in all things, Peter is calling for men to protect and nurture and care for those that society would not at the time. It's actually quite countercultural. Again, though, a moment of historical context to that community 2,000 years ago. So we have a calling of love and mutual respect to one another. And as Peter continues with quite a list of ways in which that quality of love is meant to be lived out in our relationships, let's look at this picture of words. As they come up on the screen, let that sit with you. The things that Peter says we are to be like in our relationships with one another. It says, finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Who are you when you are living your everyday life? Are you a pain to work with? Are you known for speaking over people? For jumping to the wrong conclusions? Do you get angry quickly? Are you the first to criticize others and the first to take offense? Are you just one of those smug and annoying people who always have to be right and always have to have the last word? How would your family and your friends and your workmates describe you? Does your life radiate Jesus? Ouch. And that's what Peter is suggesting to all of us, that the Christian faith is lived out when we show respect and love to others. Wives are to respect and love their husbands, and husbands are to respect and love their wives. Christians are to respect and love their fellow believers, and Christians are meant to respect and love everyone, even those who seek to do us harm. And that's hard. Because that's about the real us. And it's about the work of transformation of the Holy Spirit. Because if you're anything like me, you probably need some help on this. As we're discovering week after week, studying 1 Peter, it's all about love. Practical love worked out in our lives, in the way we show love and compassion and respect to all the people and relationships we have. As Christians, we're called to live a life of love. Sometimes that's easy, and sometimes it's hard. But at the end, love is all there is. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. I pray that God will grant you a mirror to see what you are like, and grant you his grace and his power to change what needs to, until your life more reflects the one who went to the cross for us.